Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 57, recorded on Thursday, 23rd of June, 2011. Living the Dream. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of This Week in Lotus. I'm Stuart McIntyre and once again I'm joined by Darren Duke. Hi there, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, the world.
Excellent. Good to have you on another episode. How's your week been?
It was interesting. I saw, without a doubt, the best IBM demonstration of the entire collaboration suite I have ever seen yesterday at PackLog Online. It was excellent. Well done, IBM.
Was that Chris Crummy?
It was, yes.
Yeah, he's always such a good demonstrator. And I think what he did really well yesterday was link the different products together to make it, you know, sort of seem like a seamless suite that, you know, that all the different products had a part to play in a normal kind of working life of somebody using the tools. And that really made sense to me.
Yeah, I think we'll touch on it a bit later, but I was so impressed I want to mention it right up front.
Excellent. Good stuff. And we're joined this week by Joyce Davis. Hello, Joyce.
Hey, Stuart. How are you doing? Hey, Darren.
Really good. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. You're an IBMer. Many people around the community will know you're the most represented person ever on This Week in Lotus, too, as a guest.
I know. I couldn't believe that.
Good to have you back again. Do you want to tell us what you do for IBM these days?
Sure. I'm community manager for IBM Collaboration Solutions, Lotus. So I work with the community both inside and outside of IBM to bring folks together and help them learn about our products and solutions and help evangelize and get them what they need to know to get the most out of our products.
Excellent. And I think you've moved teams recently in IBM, haven't you? How's that worked
out? I have. Yeah, I'm now in the marketing team. So it's kind of a different view. I've been in the development and support organization for the last 18 years. So this is a big change, wow. But it's kind of neat to have a different perspective. So.
Excellent. And still working from Austin?
Still working from Austin, yes.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being on the show this week. Thanks for joining us.
You're also
joined by Luis Benitez. Hello, Luis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to have you on the show. Do you want to tell us what you do at IBM?
Yeah, sure. So I'm one of the product managers in the social software team. So I get to kind of do some of the product management duties for parts of Quikr, parts of Connections, and parts of Lotus Live Connections. So just a little bit of everything to keep me busy during the day.
Excellent. Brilliant. And you've had a busy week this week, haven't you? You've been out at a conference?
I spent Monday through Wednesday at the Enterprise 2.0 conference in Boston. And it was great to see a lot of ex-colleagues and other competitors and customers and potential customers. Actually, we had tons of people stop by the IBM booth. So that was really exciting.
Excellent. And do you want to tell us where you're based?
Yeah, I'm actually based out of Puerto Rico, so I get to kind of live the dream, if you will.
Hey, I'm living the dream. I'm in Austin.
There you go.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for joining us today. You're both on because we wanted to talk about IBM Champions. It's a new program, something many people won't be familiar with. Joyce, do you want to kick us off? What is the IBM Champion program?
The IBM Champion Program is intended to recognize and reward those in the community, customers and business partners who are out there evangelizing and advocating for our solutions, for IBM Collaboration Solutions and Lotus products, and sharing their knowledge and expertise and really working with other community members, like, for example, local user groups to grow and nurture the community and help folks better learn our products and know how to use them in their own companies. So I'm really excited that we're finally able to launch this program. The program was actually started a couple of years ago in the information management group, and we're now expanding it across IBM. So really excited that not only that we're implementing it, but that this is going to be a cross IBM program.
So obviously IBM is moving away from brands, but the IBM champions right now seems to be aligned with at least what the historic brands were. So there's a finite number. I think it's 50, correct?
Right. It's 50 for Lotus, for our division at this point. And that's something that we hope to grow over time. So this was kind of our first, this is our inaugural list. So we started with the number of 50, and we hope to be able to grow that in the future.
Excellent. Many of us will be familiar with some of the other programs that other vendors run. I know VMware and Microsoft run them as well. Is this something you've seen demand from, customers, partners for, or kind of?
Absolutely.
Why did it get started?
Well, we have been seeing demand for this for a long time, and we've been hearing from you all for a long time that this is something that you've wanted and needed. And in fact, we've been looking at, the other companies that do this and seeing the value from it. And so I just wish we could have done it earlier, I'm glad that we're doing it now, but I think this is something that we've needed for a long time. And I think we've recognized the community in different ways over the last, decade or so. But I think having something formal like this and something where it's an actual formal review of nominations and identifying the actual winners and then formally going through and recognizing them in specific ways and consistent ways across the company, I think it's the right thing to do.
And one of the things I noticed when the list came out was the kind of globalization of the list. I think there's at least one person from maybe every continent except maybe Antarctica. So
that's
a good sign.
Yeah, what's really interesting is that when the selection committee that I assembled got together, we did talk about the fact that we wanted global representation. And I was a little worried that we'd get into a conversation where it's like, well, we really need somebody from this area. But you know what? We didn't actually get to that point. We had such a broad range of nominations representing so many different countries that it just turns out that when we identified those 50 champions, it was a great representation. And in fact, folks that we were not, there are many, many, many more countries that were represented in the nominations that didn't get chosen for champions. So I was really impressed with that. Luis, what do you think?
Yeah, it kind of just happened naturally. So it's something that like, as you said, Joyce, we wanted to do, and we talked about it during the initial calls as we started to get the nominations and we started to go through them. And it was pretty nice, I guess, and awesome that it just kind of happened. And to me, it was fantastic to see that we have so much evangelists pretty much everywhere throughout the world, and people that I had never known were out there. So it was a great learning process as well.
Yeah, it was also a learning process for me as the program manager for this program, because I think because I don't read Japanese. I don't, I can't, I don't know these people. I haven't talked to some of these people. It really requires us to bring in other folks who can help evaluate. And we really rely on the content of the nomination to really share with us all the different ways that these people have contributed. So I'm really looking forward to all the different ways that we can help evaluate these people going forward. Because to get to know.
Do we have any statistics? Like how many votes were cast? How many individuals were nominated? Do we have any of that kind of metrics?
We've actually decided across the, I'm working with program managers in the different divisions that are rolling out this program or have rolled out this program. We've actually decided not to share the number of nominations. I think there was some sensitivity around, you only chose X% of the people that were nominated. And so we're just choosing not to share that, but I can tell you that we had lots and lots of nominations, especially.
Yeah, it was significant.
It was significant, and I think especially for collaboration solutions, because our community is so active, I think our nominations exceeded other divisions in percentage wise.
And what was the spread of those nominations, Joyce? I mean, did you see, you know, lots and lots of votes for the very kind of vocal, you know, obvious people in the community? Or were there a real spread of votes across lots of people? I mean, you know, was it a big number of people you had nominated with just a few nominations for each?
Yeah, it wasn't really a voting system. So, and although we did look at how many nominations a person got, that really wasn't. We didn't say, okay, well, this person has, you know, five nominations, so we're going to, you know, stick them at the top of the list. That was certainly part of the evaluation. I mean, we would incorporate that as we were discussing things, but that wasn't really what determined it. It was really a matter of us, the selection committee, and just so that listeners know, the selection committee were folks that I chose, kind of a representing different products within our division, different organizations within our division, different levels within our division. I really wanted a broad spectrum of folks who could help evaluate. And what we did was we kind of did a first pass where we all read through all of the nominations. And that was very, very, it was a real challenge to do that. But I really felt like it was important for everybody who was evaluating to have a full picture of everybody that was being nominated. So we went through and kind of did a first pass. Yeah, go ahead.
And it wasn't just kind of just reading through the nominations, but, you know, I, for one, since those are a bunch of people that I didn't know, like, just taking the time to go out there and see what they were blogging about and kind of just verifying their external contributions and seeing how active they were in the forums and, you know, what they were doing here and there. It kind of did take a lot of time to go through all the massive amounts of nominations that we got.
Yeah, that's a really good point, getting out there and really reading what they had, because, you know, people would include links to things, or we would have to go look and make sure that what they were saying in their nomination was consistent with what was displaying out there. And so, yeah, it was a big job, but it was also really exciting because, as Louis said, we were able to find people that we didn't know about previously and really see that there are some folks that maybe aren't as visible in the community as others.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was out on the list this morning, out on Ed Brill's blog, and I saw a comment from a guy called Mark Lewinsk. Sorry if I've spelled it wrong. I think he's Dutch.
Lusink, yeah.
Okay, Lusink. And he actually has a blog, and it's full of useful X-Pages stuff. But it doesn't appear – I can't recall ever seeing this guy on Plant Lotus. I haven't checked yet, but it is on Bleed Yellow. So it's – you know, one of the things I think I said when we first – interviewed you, Joyce, about this was, I hope we find some hidden talents. And there was at least 6 to 10 people who I personally have never heard of. And I think that's a good thing for the vitality of the products.
I think that's a really good point, Darren. And you know, the other side of that is that there may be people that are really active in a certain area, but they aren't even familiar with the rest of the community. So we can, you know, take these people and show them all the other great stuff that's going on and really broaden our reach, I think. And Mark is a really good example. He has been really active in the X-Pages arena and in fact has been working with Amanda Bauman, our wiki program manager. And, you know, we had launched that X-Pages forum a couple of months ago, or I don't know, the months are melding together, whenever it was. And one of the things that we wanted to do was work with the community to help improve the design of this forum. So he's actually been the first person who is actively helping develop some features in the forum, so working actively with Amanda. So that's kind of a really unique and exciting contribution that he's making, using his technical skills to help us with the tool that we're using to help build community.
And do you want to talk through, Joyce, sort of what was the general judging criteria? I mean, what would you say makes a great IBM champion? What really picks somebody out as being somebody in that category?
Well, the criteria that we looked at were, first of all, evangelizing and advocating for our solutions. So are they out there, speaking at conferences? Are they blogging about us? Are they working with other customers, talking about what we're doing and how our products can benefit you? So evangelizing is a big one. Sharing their knowledge and expertise is a big one. So that are they in the forums answering questions? Are they, on a persistent Skype chat or same time chat, sharing their knowledge and expertise, answering questions? Are they helping grow and nurture the community? Are they involved in a local user group of some sort? Are they starting a user group? Are they looking for ways that we need to expand some sort of community area? And then are they looking across the entire portfolio of products? Now, keep in mind, we didn't expect every single person to be strong in each one of these areas, but these are just the different criteria that we looked at. And then also, a lot of community members talk to us and are so open with us about feedback and sharing what is working well and what is working not well. And we also looked at, how is that feedback presented? Is it complaining, or is it, hey, this is what I think about it, but here's how I think it could be improved. So just looking at all kind of the big picture, but those were kind of the areas that we looked in.
Excellent. And of course, the final list of 50 was announced at PacLug and the Vue Admin Conference yesterday by Ed Brill.
Perhaps Luis could talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we had talked about, Ed Brill was going to have the honors to announce everybody. And I had checked to see, when Ed Brill was going to be on stage. And I knew it was going to be like 9:30-ish Vegas time. And of course, I didn't do my math correct, so I miscalculated the time zones. And I may have taken some of his thunder out. But actually, looking at his blog, he's got almost 114 shares just between Twitter and Facebook, and mine only has like 20 or so. So I think
there you go.
So tell me what happened on the backstory there, because obviously me and Stuart and a couple of other guys, we saw the list pretty much as soon as you posted it, and then behind Chris and I can't remember what the second demo was. I think the mobile demo was behind them. We saw Ed on the video, heatedly putting his head down, typing away, and we're all thinking he's a bit of a Twitter addict. But my guess is he was saying, "Luis, what are you doing?"
Well, I sent him a direct message on Twitter, and I was really glad that he was looking at his phone. And I will not tell you what he tweeted back to me.
So I knew I was going to be at the Enterprise 2.0 conference, so I wanted to kind of just schedule the post, because I wasn't sure whether I was going to be at a keynote or a presentation or talking to a customer. So I just wanted to make sure that I timed that correctly, and of course I didn't do a good job at that. And so I think within a couple of minutes I got Joyce was DMing me. I got one from Stuart, one from a couple other people, and I was like, oh my god. So I luckily I had my iPad with me, and I was able to take it off pretty quickly before it spread it. Hopefully it was only seen by not too many people, and Ed Brill's got to showcase that. So Ed Brill, if you're listening, I'm sorry, it wasn't on purpose.
the best tweet I saw about it was, I think we've just had a case of premature socialization.
It was very good. And anyway, it was good to see Ed announce them, and in the midst of a really good keynote from PacLug. So we'll come to that in a little while. So, Joyce, do you want to talk through what are the benefits to the champions in terms of being elected one of these people? And also, what are the benefits to IBM of having these champions? What are you planning to do with the champions during the time that they're listed in the program?
There's going to be a calendar. You're going to all be on a calendar.
What
I
do you mean?
Not.
What? Like the champions of IBM calendar, where every month there's
I love it. That's a great idea. Why didn't that? Why didn't that come to me before? That's a good idea.
You could almost have one per week. It would be good. one per week plus you and Luis. There you go. You're 52.
There you go. 52.
That's a great idea. Okay. Okay. So one of the things is you're going to, the champions are going to receive some IBM champion logo imprinted merchandise. So things like this, there's this really cool jacket that we found. You've probably seen those gadget jackets where they have a bunch of different pockets to put gadgets in. So the champions are going to receive that jacket. There's a polo shirt that we've chosen. There is just some gadgets like a flexible keyboard, a Bluetooth keyboard, an MP3 speaker, this gadget that kind of helps you organize your cords. There's going to be a lapel pin, which is kind of cool because you can get these over, you know, if you become a champion year after year, you can collect these lapel pins. We've got a water bottle, travel mug. I think there are a couple of other little gadgets that we're going to be including in the package. But I mean, I'm glad that we're able to give something tangible. But that's obviously not the most important thing. What we really want to do is raise the visibility of these champions, and so we've got this customized profile page that we're going to be applying to the connections profiles for all the champions, and they've got some special areas that we're going to be asking the champions to fill in so that it's going to be really easy for anybody to go to these profiles and see, you know, what are your areas of expertise, how do you contribute, what are your achievements, that kind of thing. And that will be consistent across all of the champions, not just in our division. And then we'll be doing interviews. We've actually got Debbie Lind, who ran the admin and developer conference this week, to do some video interviews with some of the champions that happen to be at admin and developer there in Las Vegas. And so we're going to be posting those video interviews. We'll do some more, of course, at Lotusphere. And then I mentioned in the announcement that I posted that Colleen Burns Inches, who is a colleague that just moved to my organization, is going to be starting a blog series. So she'll be doing an article, and it will be like a champion a week. So we'll do kind of a more in-depth article about one champion so that you can really get to know that champion and how they contribute and what it means to be a champion. So I'm really looking forward to that. We've also got, we're going to be inviting champions to different events that we're sponsoring. Obviously, our annual event, Lotusphere, and then specific discounts. And that I'm still working with Sandra Marcus on those specific discounts and what they'll be. But they can look forward to that. We'll also be recognizing them during these events and conferences. So, you know, displaying names up on the screen, as well as perhaps bringing folks up on stage and highlighting people. So, again, that's still to be worked out, but definitely public recognition. We're going to have a special reception at Lotusphere for the champions, and special access to different executives and leaders within IBM. And that'll be coordinated through me. So I want to work with the champions and see, you know, who is it in IBM that you really want to have access to, that you really want to provide feedback to or get information from. And then as far as the benefits for IBM, I mean, you know, I think it's really to have somebody that doesn't work for IBM out there talking about how great our solutions are and how they've helped transform a business, that's really immeasurable. That's priceless. And so that is key. But also to have folks who are so committed to our solutions be able to give us feedback and give us feedback that's not just superficial feedback, but, hey, you know, I use this in my company every day, and these are the specific ways that it needs to be improved so that it can, you know, have a bigger impact. That kind of thing is super valuable to us.
You lost me at Bluetooth keyboard. I am so stealing Lisa's Bluetooth keyboard.
Hopefully she'll share it with you.
And how long will the champions be champions for?
Well, that's an interesting thing. At least 12 months. The thing is, had I had I waited until the way the rest of the brands did it, I would have waited until January to do it to coincide with Lotusphere. But I didn't want to wait. So I went ahead and rolled it out now. And then the first round of champions will have their designation for 18 months. Now, what I would like to do, and I'm not committing to that to this right now, but what I'd like to do is add some champions, at around the Lotusphere time frame, or maybe even before that, so that we don't have to wait 18 months to get another set. But so it'll normally be a 12-month cycle, but this first round will be 18 months.
Hey, Joyce, so I should probably know this. So is the nomination process continuously open, or do we have to wait until the nomination process starts again before people can continue to submit new nominations?
It'll be a particular period of time that will open it.
Okay.
Yep.
And I have a couple of suggestions about that. One is you need to take off the restriction that you have to know of a nominee's email address, because there was several people I was going to nominate that eventually I gave up because I couldn't contact them fast enough to get their email addresses.
Oh, interesting. Well, you actually are required to notify them before you nominate them. So I would hope that there's some way that you could get in touch with a nominee. Well,
really? No, if it was a requirement, then I can do that.
And I think these days we're just as much likely to contact somebody via Skype or same time or Twitter than we are via email. So maybe that's something that can be changed over time. But it was interesting. I certainly found the form for the nomination quite tricky, just because it asked some quite challenging questions. You know, I could pick a name out of the community and say, I know they do a really great job, you know, and I really think they should be a champion. But actually then qualifying that with exactly what they do, it's actually quite difficult to do in some cases. And it was a really good thought process to actually have to work through that for the people you are nominating.
Yeah.
I think they need to get rid of the certification question now, because there's nowhere on this planet you are going to know what someone from either side of the planet has as certifications.
Well, exactly. And that question might be more applicable or more appropriate to ask the nominee, you know, so once they're nominated, then following up with the nominee. And this is something that I'm working with. Some of you may know Bronwyn Gunnison, who works for the DeveloperWorks organization. And he's kind of leading the effort and coordinating across all of the IBM champion program managers. And we're looking at ways that we can improve that form, because not only was it a challenge for those who were nominating, it was a challenge for those of us receiving all of those nominations and organizing all that information. So, we definitely have some improvements on the books for that. But I'd also be real interested, Darren and Stuart, in getting your feedback on that too.
Lee, you want to talk to Lisa, because she did a ton.
Yes, she did. Oh, my gosh.
every few minutes, I was hearing four-letter words emanate out of her office.
All right. I'll definitely get with her then.
She tried to figure some out.
That will be her first IBM champion responsibility.
There you go.
And I want to give a shout-out to a couple of people who weren't champions. That, you know, I understand there's 50, and I understand IBM are damned if they do and damned if they don't. But I think there's a good... You know, you could easily fill another 50. But I want to take this opportunity and mention a couple of names that, you know, I was surprised weren't on there for several reasons. No, in no particular order. You know, Sean Cull, I think, would have been is an outstanding community member. Mark Bennett from the Salvation Army. Peter May from, again, Australia, that area. Randy Davison that runs the Atlanta Lotus User Group. I was surprised Carl Tyler wasn't on there. For all of the stuff and all of the free stuff that Apelio release. And then Keith Brooks, because Keith Brooks, you know, is probably one of the most prevalent bloggers out there, and I think he asked some interesting questions. So, a muted shout-out to them guys who didn't make it, but probably would had it been 75 people.
And to your good self as well, Darren.
Thank you.
You weren't on the list. I wish you were in many ways. But I think the 50 that have been selected, I think, are a really good representation of the talent and the commitment that's out there in the community. And, it's interesting to see there's a mix of partners and customers, there's a mix of different geographies, there's a mix of different kind of cultures on there. And I think it really does validate how strong this community is in many ways.
Yeah, and... You know, one message I want to get out there is that I know that this was our first time for this program. And so it, we probably didn't reach everybody in terms of educating people about the program and encouraging them to nominate. So I really hope that this will raise the visibility of the program so that more people will nominate. Because some of the people that you mentioned there weren't nominated, and I really hope that we can have even more nominations next time.
Excellent. I'm sure you will do, George. And I just want to say thank you for you running the program and all the effort and time you must have put into pulling this together. You know, the community thanks you for your work on this as well. Do you want to name anybody else in your team that particularly put in effort towards this as well?
Oh, that's a really good point. Well, I really want to thank the selection committee. I mean, there were a lot of people that spent a lot of time going through all of the different nominations. And I don't know that I want to list everybody on the selection committee, but Luis, thank you very much. Ed, obviously was really important. Mary Beth Raven was really critical in all this. So thank you everybody who participated and contributed and gave their feedback.
Wonderful.
And so let me ask a quick question. And this is kind of based around the times we live in where we go for a drive-through. It's instant message. It's TV on demand. Is there any worry that if we wait 12 months on the program, that everyone might get bored and go do something else, and then kind of neglect it a bit? Like, unfortunately, what seems to happen to Wiki Madness? Has there been any thought to maybe, like you said, adding people every 6 months at least to keep the vibrancy of the nomination process and the releasing of names, instead of waiting a whole calendar year when a lot happens in a year?
Yeah, I think that's a good point and something that has already been brought up as a topic that we want to discuss as the IBM Champion Program Managers. So, and in fact, I think I have that call later today. So I'm happy to bring that up.
And just like yesterday, I wasn't reading Lisa's email. Today, I am not reading Joyce's email. For those who follow me on Twitter.
Well, great effort, guys. Thank you to everybody that's involved in that program. I think it's a tremendous innovation, really, in the sort of Lotus IBM Collaboration Solutions community. And I think it's going to be a big success over the years to come, too. So, you know, the announcement was made at PACLUG or the admin conference yesterday. Darren, you wanted to comment, I think, on that keynote, not just on the demos, but also how it was streamed.
Yes. You know, we've kind of harped on quite a bit on this podcast about streaming information to the masses. And the first kickoff of that was, I guess, a handful of things at Lotusphere 11 were streamed. But I think streaming the entire keynote start to finish with a high-quality video feed was nothing short of phenomenal for the PACLUG and the Wiz Publishing guys. It was very well done. There was very little hiccups. The audio stayed constant throughout the entire keynote. You were able to watch it in high quality video, so we're all able to see Ed for the first time with his glasses on, as if he was sat in the room. And the quality of the demos was nothing short of phenomenal. You know, they had an emote, so they're actually showing a real live iPhone or Android. I think it was an iPhone, but was there. You know, that takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of effort. But I think that keynote hit a massive multiplier of people beyond who were sat in that room, and that's only a good thing. And I want to congratulate the PACLUG and the admin and the DevCon people for doing that.
Hey,
yeah,
Darren,
I was really impressed too.
So I was at the Enterprise 2 conference, so totally missed it. So did they use the live stream technology, or were they doing something just via Skype? Like how were they doing the live stream to the public?
I don't know. It was embedded in the website. Did you look, Stuart, to see how it was done?
I can work it out. I was trying to find out because I wanted to watch it on my iPad and couldn't work out how to do it because it wasn't HTML5. But it was very, very impressive. It was on the Lotus User Group website, okay, just on the front page. I think probably using Ustream or something, but it wasn't obvious which technology they were using. But it had, and the recording's there as well, which is terrific if you want to go back and watch that. It's just at lotususergroup.org.
Oh, perfect. Okay, thank you.
So, and I noticed that there were like 500 and some people viewing.
Oh, wow.
At the time the champions were being announced, officially announced.
For the second time that day.
Yeah.
And the other thing that struck me is we've been hearing for a long time, mobile, mobile, mobile. It's a tier one client. And I think yesterday we got to see all of that. And that just goes to show the amount of effort that, that IBM have been putting in on the Android, the iPhone, and to a certain extent the BlackBerry platform. So it's good to see that coming from fruition, because it used to be that we'd see stuff at Lotusphere that was in the labs, and maybe the next Lotusphere or maybe the next Lotusphere after we'd get to see it. So it was good to see them actually roll out working real live code that's working on devices at Packlog and let the world see. I think that, that speaks bounds for them.
I think the other thing I spotted from that keynote is how the join between the sort of notes and domino piece of the demo and the social business, you know, connections, Vulcan, etc., was almost impossible to see. You know, it seemed like a much more cohesive group of products than it has been possibly in the past. Even when at Lotusphere, you know, there's been strong focus on social business, there hasn't been so much domino in there. Whereas yesterday, it really just seemed like all the pieces were coming together towards this Vulcan vision that everybody's heading towards in the future.
And it looked nice. You know, the new Vulcan UI thing looked very nice. You know, you get to see it in screenshots every now and again, but we got to see a pretty good demo of it yesterday. And I always like watching that, because on the left sidebar of Vulcan, you get to see via sneak previews what they're thinking about doing. So I don't know if you saw, but Cognos appeared in that list yesterday.
Oh, interesting. I didn't spot that. And, you know, Luis, as one of the product managers, I'm sure you have particular focus on a given product in the range. Do you ever get to see what some of these demos are going to look like when they hit the main stage? Or is it sometimes a surprise for you, you know, to see how the things are packaged together?
So at least, you know, the Chris Crummy demos are always a surprise. I mean, that, like, he's always finding very creative ways as to how to show our products. And you know, he's amazing. The way that he can think of, you know, very interesting ways to combine all of our products together. It's almost like our customers. Right? The customers always come up with very creative ways of using our products, and Chris definitely has that specialty to do that. So I haven't seen what Chris has done, so I'm anxious to see it now that you guys have pimped it so much. So I'm going to check it out right after we're done here.
Excellent. And Luis, of course, you were at another conference this week at the Enterprise 2.0 conference in Boston. Do you want to talk us through some of the highlights from your perspective? I know there were some IBM keynotes as part of the keynote agenda. You know, do you want to talk about those and maybe some of the other highlights?
Yeah, sure. So on Tuesday, it was the official start of the conference. That's where we had the first set of keynotes. The way they do it is a little bit strange. So they have, I think, like a two-hour keynote. And basically, it's 15 minutes per speaker. And so we actually had Mike Rodin there. He present the IBM vision of what we're doing. And the feedback that I was seeing on Twitter and everywhere else was just tremendous. People were really engaged with Mike. Mike did a tremendous job on stage. So I was really glad that he was able to join us there. And people were really excited. And he did mention a couple of times. You know, people at the conference get really mad when vendors get on stage and they do an ad for their products, and a couple of vendors did that. And if you go back to the Twitter stream, you can actually catch that. And Mike did a really good job of, you know, staying away, you know, of doing just a pitch for Connections, and rather just talk about the issues of, you know, social business, what we need to do. And he really emphasized analytics, right? So analytics and all this massive amounts of data that's being created on networks like Twitter and Facebook and so forth. You know, how can you process all of that data and make sense of it? So that was kind of like the main focus of his 15-minute keynote. And the interesting thing was that the person that came after, I don't know whether he was nervous or what, but the comments on Twitter were somewhere around, you know, you shouldn't really have a really good speaker like Mike Rodin and then have a really bad one after, because it just kind of disturbs the flow, if you will. And the other thing that if I could have some feedback to the conference organizers, because it's 15-minute keynotes and everybody's doing kind of their own thing, there's also no major flow. So, you know, we talked about analytics, other vendors talked about video, other talked about adoption issues, and it was just kind of just random topics all meshed up together. So it was sometimes a little bit hard to follow, but overall very good. And then we also had Alistair Rennie do a session at the conference, and it was packed. So that was really good. It was classified as one of those, you know, IBM sponsor sessions. Okay. And I was kind of afraid that nobody was going to go because, you know, typically, you know, if it's a sponsored session, again, it's kind of perceived that it's going to be like a vendor pitching the product. But it was packed. It was I saw analysts and I saw press there and customers and again, Alistair did a tremendous job, kind of staying away from just pitching the product and just focusing on why social business and how social business. So he had a five step kind of like agenda, if you will, as to things that you have to worry about and things that you can actually do to become a true social business. And then he opened it up for questions and he had about five or six questions towards the end and did a really good job at answering those questions with no hesitation. So it was really good. And then, like I mentioned earlier, we had a big booth at the show floor. We're one of the diamond sponsors this year, and we had tons of people come by. You know, I think the main attraction, of course, was Watson. So a lot of people were coming by to play with Watson there. But tons of people were asking for demos on connections, and I did some of those demos, and the feedback that I kept hearing from people was like, "Wow, this is amazing!" So really, you know, really excited to hear that from prospective customers.
Excellent. And something I spotted from the Twitter stream is very much, it seemed like social business as a term is now beginning to be really accepted as the way of talking about these Enterprise 2.0 or social collaboration tools, rather than Enterprise 2.0, which is, you know, obviously the name of the conference, seems to be how people, particularly Andrew McAfee, has talked about it in the past. Did you get a sense that social business is where it's at in terms of these tools?
Yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, the accepted term going forward. You know, even the tagline for the conference was, you know, Enterprise 2.0 Social Business Conference or something like that. So I think that's what we'll continue to hear. And, you know, everybody was using that term. So whether it was Adobe or Cisco or Avaya, they were all using social business. So I think that's what we're going to keep seeing going forward.
Okay, and a couple of the announcements that were made there by IBM was IDC ranking you guys as the leading vendor now, which must be very pleasing to hear. And also, Connections 301 was formally launched, wasn't it? Although it's been out since much earlier this year, it's now sort of formally been launched in a public forum as well.
Right. So we had two major announcements there. So we had the one on IDC, which, you know, we were glad that IDC was able to time it properly with the conference, because that way it got a lot of visibility. So, and like you said, for the second year in a row, IBM was named the leader in market share worldwide. And then the other announcement was kind of around the 301 launch, as well as now the partnership with Actians. Yeah. So a lot of customers at the conference were actually coming to see what the Actians plugin was like. And so it's really exciting because Actians actually wrote something for us. So whereas some vendors out there are trying to integrate with Actians, writing their own thing, Actians actually wrote the native integration into Connections. So, you know, we partner with them and we gave them access, of course, to all the APIs and SPIs that we have. And so their tool is amazing. It's very powerful. You know, they can do things like real-time analysis. So if somebody's sharing inappropriate content or, if you're Pepsi and somebody in your company blogs about, you know, sell Pepsi stock or buy Pepsi stock, and you can do some sort of like regular expressions where if people are somehow sharing internal or insider trading, if you will, you can cash that and do like real-time alerts. And they have modules that can do compliance and gets all of the regulations that are out there. So whether you're a financial customer or in the healthcare industry or automotive or whatever, they have the tools to measure and make sure that you're under compliance under all of your regulations.
Yeah, it's a really exciting solution for anybody who's looking in that area, I have to say. The last thing, Lewis, on this is, did you see the Microsoft keynote? I watched it on the stream, and it was very interesting that it was focusing on their way of getting ideas up from their workers. Talked about the process they use for that. Use a what seems to be a very customized SharePoint site to do that. They run it every couple of years and get papers from people submitted. It seemed a really strange subject for a keynote at such a big conference. Did you think that?
I did, you know, so they kind of focused on ideation. So they were talking about their process on how they manually submitted papers every, I think they had like a 2-week process every couple of years where Bill Gates would just take a retreat and he would just, for those 2 weeks, just read all the papers that were written and submitted. And so they talked about how they use ideation within Microsoft and how, you know, some things have come out of that and have added value. But in fact, actually, a couple of other people were talking about ideation as well. And it came up during a couple of other, you know, closed sessions. So it seemed like ideation is kind of like a big thing that a lot of businesses are going after. So it's kind of strange how Microsoft does it. It's very manual and very kind of limited and constrained, but it was a recurring topic throughout the conference.
Okay, excellent. And more news on another conference, Darren, is IAMLUG. It's coming up soon, August 1st, 2nd. I don't know where IAMLUG is based, do you know?
I think it's St. Louis.
St. Louis, okay, and that's kind of run by Chris Miller and a team there, and they've announced their agenda. Brian Cheng doing the keynote is an interesting choice.
Genius choice, right? Mr. Lotus for you, the guy that stopped the opening general session turning into a complete fruit fight.
Yeah, very energetic keynote presenter. I think it's going to be interesting. I hope they stream it. I think you'll get a lot of viewers for that if they do.
Yeah, when I first saw it, because Chris was kind of hinting that the next hour it was going to be up there, so I think a lot of people watching, when I saw it, I was like, that is a very, very good idea.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And that's, as I say, August 1st, 2nd. I think registration is still open for that. Some good speakers announced: John Head, Francie Tanner, Paul Mooney, which is something that leapt to my vision when I had a look. So it's well worth head-to-heading if you're in that area of the world. Luis, and another one that came up just today, actually, was a really good video on YouTube comparing connections files against SharePoint. Did you see that one?
That video is amazing. So Brandon actually shared that internally, using connections, of course, at IBM. And I think he did about 2 weeks ago. And it's one of the most downloaded videos and rated videos within our system. And he got such tremendous feedback that he decided to post it externally. And it's an amazing video. What he does, he actually compares, kind of like, if you will, like apples to apples. So he compares doing one task in connections and trying to do the same task in SharePoint. And so in connections, it takes you, let's say, you know, 2 or 3 clicks, and in SharePoint, it takes you 25 clicks. And he shows, you know, how hard and how complicated it is to do things within SharePoint. And the interesting thing is that he's only comparing, if you will, files, you know, the file sharing capability within connections to the file sharing within SharePoint. And connections, as you know, it's a lot more than just file sharing. You know, we have blogs and wikis and forums and profiles. So I would imagine and I would hope that he will continue building these videos where he keeps going and just compare all these different features just to show people that, sure, SharePoint has a wiki, but, you know, how bad and how complicated is it to use SharePoint. And actually, that's what customers were telling us at the IBM booth in the conference. They were coming to us. They said, we have SharePoint, but our users hate SharePoint. You know, they spend so much time just trying to figure out how to do stuff within SharePoint that it's just a collaboration killer. So we need something better. And so that's where I would kind of just show connections and even show how they don't have to get rid of SharePoint because we actually natively integrate into SharePoint. So it's great. It's highly recommended. Everybody should watch that video. If you're competing against SharePoint, I can guarantee that, you know, that's going to be what's going to win you the business.
Yeah, I just found it an amazing video. It's not short, it's sort of over half an hour, I think, but a really good watch, particularly as SharePoint is supposed to be a document, you know, management and sharing solution. Yeah, as you say, it's just a part of what Connections does, and it really interesting to see the comparison between those. And last bit of news this week, I think we're going to finish on time, amazing, is that RIM, at least according to a blog post by Greg Eldred, is about to kill Bez Express for Domino. So Bez Express is this free version of the BlackBerry Enterprise server that first of all came out on Exchange about probably 18 months, 2 years ago. About a year later, followed up on Domino. It's mainly meant for small to medium business, and it looks like that's going to go away. Any thoughts on that?
If I'm not an IBM champion, I am definitely not research in motion champion. These people just go from stupidity to stupidity. And the only thing that I can think is their rationale for doing this is so many full bears users on Domino are scrapping full bears and are moving to Express.
Yeah.
Because really, the two selling points of full bears are... one, you get 76 more policies. Well, no one really wants policies anymore on a mobile device, at least not that many. And then the other thing is, you know, you don't get same time access. Well, based on my blog posting yesterday, you'll see that unfortunately for IBM, most BlackBerry users can't use same time because of the way of the stupid licenses. So I can see maybe why RIM are doing this, and it struck me as a bit odd when they first released Bez Express with so much functionality it was cross-pollinated from full bears. But that's the only thing I can see the rationale behind this. The only other thing may be that so many people are using Traveler that they don't see the reason to keep it around. Yeah. But honestly, the dirty little secret is all of the bears are the same. They just kind of change out the dispatcher task or the router task.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, we keep on hearing about RIM's struggle in the market, you know, whether it's with, you know, the lackluster launch of the playbook, whether it's, you know, some of the new devices aren't matching up to expectations, you know, and therefore I can't imagine there's too many businesses making a decision at this time to go with RIM as their major mobile provider. So therefore, are there many people actually putting in new Bez systems? I can't imagine there are.
We haven't sold a full Bez probably for 24 to 36 months. Now, I will say we probably do at least two or three full Bez to Bez Express migrations a month.
Wow.
So if they're saying the same thing we are, where all of a sudden these paid for SRP IDs are suddenly migrating to Bez Express and they're missing their numbers by vast amounts, you know, they may be thinking, let's curtail that loss of revenue. But I think all that's going to do is going to accelerate moving to iPhone or Android devices for companies.
The other thing is that there keep on being rumors about IBM doing a Traveler for BlackBerry devices, which I don't know how much truth there is to that, but certainly if IBM is investigating that, you've got to think that RIM probably, you know, think that maybe it's time to pull the free stuff. I don't know. I have to see how that works out over time.
It'll be interesting to see if RIM are on stage at Lotus Fear 12.
Indeed. Because they play quite a big part in the OGSs in recent years, haven't they? Okay, we'll see how that works out for everybody concerned, particularly how RIM carry on. There's some interesting posts about RIM as a vendor on a mobile blog. I'll put the links in the show notes about how they're kind of moving forward, and people can share that. So as ever, we finish the show with tips from each of our guests. So Darren, do you want to kick us off? What's your tip?
So I have some weird sleep patterns occasionally, and
most days it seems.
So when I get up in the middle of the night and I can't go to sleep, I'll usually do something completely pointless. And last week it was generating stats for the This Week in Lotus podcast. So if you were following me on Twitter, or you follow Stuart, or you follow the This Week in Lotus on Twitter, you'd have seen a lot of meaningless stats, but kind of interesting. Like, I think the one that shocked me was we've done 3,811 minutes of podcasts, I think is what it was, right? Is that what it came out at?
Something like that.
So I can only imagine how many man years Stuart wastes producing this by cutting out all the blank spots and Darren's inane comments to hit the cutting room floor. But either way, the way I figured that out was I went into iTunes and I just selected all of the This Week in Lotus podcasts, and I was not expecting this to work, but I just highlighted them all, hit copy, open the spreadsheet, hit paste, and lo and behold, just like in Notes, when you do copy as table, you can do the same thing in iTunes. So all of the stats from inside of iTunes came over to a spreadsheet, and I was able to manipulate the numbers and get them without having to go through 58 separate web pages to find out how long the episodes were. So I was kind of relieved at that, but I was also kind of surprised it worked. And not only that, but that gave me a tip. For 3 out of the 4 weeks, I beat Stuart to the tips.
You did. It can't continue this way. Excellent. And Joyce, what's your tip?
Well, my tip is pretty simple, but last night after the champions were announced, I created a Twitter list with all the champions. So if people want to know what the IBM champions are tweeting about, they can go to twitter.com/lotustechinfo/IBM-champions.
Excellent.
Good idea.
Yeah, really good. Are they all populated in there already?
They are.
Excellent.
And Nathan Freeman is not in there because he doesn't have a Twitter account.
Okay, but all the others do?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
That says quite a lot, doesn't it? That's quite impressive how social we all are.
96% of the champions are on Twitter. That's impressive.
Yeah, and if you want to know why Nathan isn't, then you can go read his blog.
Sorry, 98% of the champions are on Twitter. I got my math.
Yeah, not sure about your maths. Okay, thank you, Joyce. And Louise, what's your tip?
So let's see. Okay, I'm not on mute. So my tip is for those of you who have iPad 2 and maybe you're studying for something, or perhaps you have kids in school or they're going to college or whatever, Evernote just came out with a new app called Evernote Peek. And it's really cool because I think it's the first app that actually takes advantage of the new smart cover in the iPad 2. So what you can do is, you know, as you probably have seen on videos and stuff, the new smart cover, you can actually just open like a little part of it, and then immediately the iPad 2 turns on. So what they've done is they've actually leveraged that. And so when you open the first part, you can actually take a peek at some specific area within the iPad, and they will give you like a word. So if you're trying to learn, I don't know, maybe you're studying for some exam and you want to learn words, or you want to put in dates because you're studying history or whatever, it's a great study tool. So you know, if we go back to the days when we used flashcards, you know, we would put one word on the front of the flashcard and then the definition on the back. This is kind of like the modern version of that. So I thought it was really cool, and you know, I tweeted about that maybe a week or two ago. So just wanted to share that more broadly because I saw a demo and I really can't wait until I get my iPad too. So check it out.
Looks really good. Just had a look at it on iTunes. Very impressive app. That looks really, really great. Thank you, Luis. And my tip, well, I've got a couple of them. First of all, that I reported on the podcast last week that Notes 8.5 struggles on the developer release of Lion. Yes, it's my own fault for installing it, I know. The good news is there was a update for that came out on Software Update yesterday that fixes it. So if you are thinking about Lion, give it possibly another go. Notes does seem to work, at least for the moment. But obviously, take that.
So let me ask a question.
Go on, him.
Is that a Lion update or is that a Notes update?
It's a Lion update.
Okay.
Yeah, which just, what I'm guessing is to do with the Java, which you now have to install separately onto Lion. It was included in all previous versions of OS 10. You now have to install it separately. And I'm guessing there was a problem with that Java package that they've sorted out now with this update.
So IBM are absolved then? It was nothing to do with IBM?
Possibly. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm going to try it on another server just to make sure it is okay before I broadly recommend it to everybody. But it does seem at least as if that problem's gone away now, which is great. My other tip is an event. I mentioned it again a couple of weeks ago. It's our Social Connections user group event for IBM Connections. It's taking place on the 4th of July, which is just under 2 weeks away in London. We've got an excellent agenda, which is beginning to be publicised on the website now, and speakers. We've got people from the IBM Labs in Dublin coming over, Mike Roach, which many of you all know from Lotusphere and other places. We have folks from Headshift, part of the Datis group, from some of the universities in the UK and various other places. So there's a small number of places left. If you are interested, please do register at socialconnections.info. It's sure to be a good event. And just to mimic Marie Scott for a moment, it's free. So make sure you get there if you want some really good connections education. So thank you to both of you, Joyce and Luis, for joining us this week. Luis, do you want to kick us off? How do people track you down?
Sure thing. So they can find me at Twitter. So my handle is L Benitez, and that's L as in Larry, B as in boy, E-N-I-T-E-Z as in zebra. And the same thing for my blog, lbenitez.com.
Terrific. Thank you, Luis. Appreciate your time this week. And Joyce, how do people find you?
On Twitter, I am J-A-D in Texas, TX. So it's JADINTX. And actually, that's probably the best place to find me.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your work on the IBM Champions Program, and also for managing this community, which I'm sure is pretty difficult to manage sometimes. So thank you for all the efforts you make.
Thank you.
And finally, to the This Week in Lotus champion, Darren Duke. How do people track you down?
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Well, actually, I have been on all of them, haven't I? So I am Iron
you
Man.
You have. You are.
Iron Man. blog.darrenduke.net for all things technical related to IBM, VMware, and occasionally BlackBerry. Darren Duke, all one word, for my 140 character, really, really sad tweets about not being a champion.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you for your time again this week. I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre or on the blog, which is at blog.collaborationmatters.com. Thank you all for this week. I think it's been a really good episode. I hope everybody enjoys listening to it. Until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
Hi there, Stuart here. Just as we finished recording This Week in Lotus, Joyce Davis remembered an additional tip she meant to give you, which is all about the IBM community meeting that she runs. This month's meeting takes place on June 28th, which is next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, that's 3 p.m. UK. This month's call features Scott Newman, who is Director of Social Business Marketing at IBM. He's going to cover the whole strategy for leveraging the portfolio from IBM Collaboration Solutions, as well as the rest of IBM, and how that's going to move forward as being the main campaign that features the traditional Lotus products. As I say, it takes place 10 a.m. on Tuesday. You can get all the information on the blog, which is at greenhouse.lotus.com/blog/lotustechinfo.